It's wonderful to make a great statement. I will sing your praises. Through all the changing scenes of life, through everything that happens, through good times, through bad times, I will sing your praises. You said that. Were we just singing nice words? Or do you mean it from the bottom of your heart? Boy, I needed that praise time today. It's a good medicine. It's strength for your bones. Wonderful testimonies that we've heard. God is a faithful God. And he who's begun a good work in you, he will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And there is a day that is coming, and I believe it's coming soon, when the Lord himself will return to this planet. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised and we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the gospel message. But it tells us quite clearly that before the gospel is preached into all the world, that many things will start to happen. It tells us actually that the love of many will grow cold. That people who once walked with God stop walking with God. It tells us that people will be deceived, and things that once were very precious to them and were biblical truths, that they will be neglected and forsaken. And this is all called a part of the great apostasy or falling away. But I want to tell you this, the Bible's very clear that he who endures to the end, they'll be saved. And God wants a steadfast people and a consistent people. God doesn't want us to be walking with him one day and walking away from him the next. And that lovely a word that came before, that testimony, it's through the word of God. Hallelujah. It's only the word of God that sets us free. I can say unequivocally, I'm only standing here because the word of God was revealed to me. It wasn't man's words or man's ideas. It was God's word. And when I suddenly realized that the Bible is the word of God, that man shall not live by a bread alone, but by every word which is proceeding, it's ongoing. That's the tense of it. It wasn't just something written for long ago. I remember as a child, I used to love history. And I used to hear how, I don't suppose I even teach it today, but how England became a Christian nation in history lessons at school. And I was told about the miracles that were performed by these people who came to preach the gospel. And I thought, what a pity it's not like that today. Even as a child, I can honestly tell you, there was something inside of my heart that just longed to see the power and the presence of God. And now all these years later, I've seen the power and the presence of God. And yet, I haven't seen anything yet. Our God is a faithful God. Our God is going to unlock doors and set people free. But you know, if you have a wishy-washy Christianity, which is diluted by every changing situation, then you'll never stand. You will never stand. But I want to be like Job, who said, though you slay me, I'll still trust you. And the Lord gave us his promise, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Does that mean that sometimes he'll forsake you? And sometimes, no, it means never. But it means never to those who believe and trust and who are confident in him. Some people think that they can live any sort of life and that God will just always forgive them. I'm very sorry to tell you, but my Bible doesn't tell me that. It tells me this, that I have to give an account before God. Whoa. I appear before a throne of God. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. And you stand there. And one day the Lord will ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? And you might say, well, You know, I didn't really have very much. I wasn't a preacher. I wasn't very confident. I had all sorts of things against me. But I want to tell you, even in this gathering today, there are people who've had all sorts of things against them. Terrible things. They've gone down terrible roads themselves. But God is faithful and brought them back. And they've said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross. We've got to learn how to die to self and live in him. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I'm an overcomer. What through my rational mind and trying harder and making more and more goodwill tokens to try and get there. None of those things will save me. I'm saved through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who loved me and gave himself for me, whose blood was shed for me, whose blood spilt on this earth to redeem the earth and to redeem this little bit of dust of this earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is not the day for us to draw back. This is the day for us to go on. I had a man, I've been away in London. And when I was in London, this man wanted to see me, a Jewish man. And I met up with him, and he brought his wife with him, and he was talking to me, and he said, I want to tell you about my story. I said, love hearing stories. Tell me. He said, well, I began to study my Jewish history of the time after Jesus' death and resurrection, or Yeshua, as he called him. He said, and I discovered this, that the first so-called churches, actually they're all meeting in the synagogues. And he said, and I've discovered a synagogue where it's got an inscription, Yeshua is the Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah, hallelujah. This is a Jewish man. This is not a Christian man. And he said, I want to tell you, I totally believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Hallelujah. I think that needs a hallelujah. And he said, not only this, he said, we live together in this kibbutz. Now, kibbutz is a gathering of Jewish people, and they share things and have things in common and so on. And I said, and do you all think alike? He said, yes, we do. And he said, and not only us. He said, all around Israel, there are more and more people believing that Jesus is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, are you messianic believers then? He said, no, no. No, that's a different group. Well, I knew that. I was just testing him. I said, well, I have a lot to do with messianic believers. And he said, yes, but we're Jews. God is on the move. Hallelujah. You won't hear this on the BBC News. You won't hear this on Sky TV or reading in the newspapers. But I tell you that God is doing miraculous and amazing things. But he's doing them through people whose hearts are open to the Lord. Are you afraid of the things that are going to happen on this earth? It tells me that there's a darkness that is coming. A gross darkness. A darkness that can be felt. And it says people will get so afraid. But you know what the Bible tells us? Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had a message from the Jewish embassy. And they said, we're so privileged by all that the Christian embassy does for us. We want to tell you of an offer that we want to give. And we want you to be a part of it. And we're going to take young people between the ages of 22 and 34 to Israel in November. We're going to pay. We just want you to, sort of tell us about these young people. Now, I say there's a lot here. Most of you are 22 to 34, aren't you? But I know that there are people here who need to be taking advantage of this. And I want you to pray about that. But you know, the Bible says, and I really am only boasting in the Lord, you will appear before rulers and kings and so on. And I've heard people say about this. Well, this came right down from the ambassador of the Jewish embassy in the United Kingdom. I just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm hearing about Jews saying, yes, he is the Messiah. And I'm also seeing a great tide, a flood of iniquity all around Israel. Terrible things that are happening. And you know, so many in the Christian church are hoodwinked. You know, the Christians are being slaughtered. They are being slaughtered. They're being massacred. In fact, it tells us in Revelation that those who've been beheaded for their faith. Now, that was just a phrase that was in the Bible, which probably you've read and skipped over. But we're seeing it actually happen for no other reason than they will not deny Jesus. Now, we live in a different sort of society, but that society is changing. And I don't know if the Lord tarries. I don't know what our society will be like, but we're like fools. We are like fools. We're taking on board anything and everyone. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we should not have the compassion and the heart of God for people. But you know, there is a line that you must not go below. And if you do that, you will sell your own soul. As somebody once said, a Christian who was challenged, he said, no, I'm not politically correct, but I am biblically correct. Glory to God. And I want to stand by what God's word says. And if God's word sanctions something, go for it. If God's word prohibits something, then don't do it. And the times when I've broken the word of God to my own cost and to my own shame, but equally so when I've made a stand for the Lord. The blessing and the power of God. Some of those songs today were beautiful, weren't they? There's power in the resurrection. They're not just empty words. There's no power like the power of the Lord. I love that hymn that says, rise up, O men of God. Be done with lesser things. Boy, I'm glad I'm not the pastor anymore. There's quite a few lesser things that absolutely overwhelm you. And you think, is that all that's bothering you in your life? You know, the biggest thing that you should be concerned about, the only thing, is sin. And some people think that when you come to the Lord and your sins are forgiven, that that's it then. Then just carry on. As long as you said a prayer, you can be assured of everlasting bliss and happiness and so on. Everyone that I read about in the Bible, they paid a price to go on with God. Do you know every single disciple, it's not recorded in the Bible, but there are records of it in church history, that show us that every single one laid down their life. They were martyred. Every one of the apostles. Every single one. Glory to God. How much would we lay down to follow Jesus? My biggest enemy, I've learned this, is myself. It's my heart. Oh, John Wesley, bless him. He had it right. He said everybody needs a clean heart. You need a clean heart. You need your heart of stone to be taken away. And you need a brand new clean heart within you. And if you've got the heart of God, because that's what that clean heart is, and then it changes your thinking, it changes your world, it changes absolutely everything. See, if you're just patching up the old thing like an old wineskin, and you just think that you're on some self-improvement course, you'll never ever do it. Christianity is radical. Sin is radical. Some people think that, again, it doesn't really matter. I tell you, there's no sin in heaven. There's not a scrap of sin. There's no idolatry. There's no bad words. There's no bad thoughts. Certainly no bad deeds. Heaven is absolute perfection. It's beautiful. It's light. It's peace. It's joy. It's long-suffering. It's forgiveness. It's healing. It's reconciliation. Now, for you, do you think for one moment within your heart and life that you can get to that place where within you the fullness of God is. The Bible tells us that we dwell in the light. We don't dwell in darkness, we dwell in the light. And the closer you get to God, the more of God's light wants to shine within you. Until one day we are consumed in light. And it's a beautiful light. It's a fantastic light. It's a light that is brighter than the sun. It was there before the sun. God said, let there be light. And God wants to shine light. Light into your darkest recess of your heart, which only you know about and God knows about. Until Jesus has changed you so much, it's no longer you. You might have the same name that you started out with. But you know what? One day, and maybe, dear Bill, very soon, there's a new name. Glory to God. You have got a new name. Because you're a completely new person. All things have passed away. Behold, says the Lord, I make all things new. Do you believe it's possible for you, even you, in your failures and your shame, even in your hidden things, for you to be so transformed that those things can just fall off your life? Well, I've got the good news for you. That's exactly what this Bible tells me about. It began in a wonderful place, according to the Bible, a place of paradise, a place called Eden, where everything was for man. Everything was available for man and woman. And they could have enjoyed the presence and the blessing of God forevermore. But then choices came. And what did they choose? They chose darkness rather than light. They chose what God said, don't choose. And yet some people today think, well, you can still make a choice. You know, they shouldn't do it. But for me, it's okay. Now, I don't know what's going on in your heart and life, but God does. And also God shows me hearts here today that are at crossroads. Hearts. I see a heart as I'm talking to you. And these hearts are divided because they're making wrong choices. And you can justify your wrong choices. You can justify your wrong attitudes and so on. But one day you'll stand before the throne of God. You will give an account of every deed that you've done. The Bible's very clear. It tells us this in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. It tells us in Romans chapter 14. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, if you feel that's a bit heavy, you should do. Because, you know, there's a big responsibility. I read in the Bible once a verse that I absolutely did not want to read. It says, those who teach are going to give a greater accountability. I thought, I better stop teaching then. But then the Lord showed me. You see, you have a calling and a destiny. And it tells us that when the crowns of reward are given. Now, none of you, I know, you don't do this for reward, but there are rewards. And it tells us that the some who are just, as it were, just going to be saved. But everyone here can be like, well, as Rob said right at the start, you can have as much of God as you want. And it's as though, you know, we'll bring God into, in the old days, we used to say the parlor. See, the ones who laugh, you see, they know what I'm talking about. But all the youngies haven't got a clue. You can bring God into the lounge. See, when it's all been spruced up. But you see, God wants to go into every part of your house. Oh, I was so blessed and so touched when the people, some of those dear people are here today, who made that Pilgrim's Progress that we had on the window display. I hope we're going to have it again very soon. And Pilgrim, he started out, and he only had two things. He'd been given this scroll, which was the Bible. That's all he had. And he started to read about it and the wonderful things that were in store. But he had something else. Does anyone remember what it was? Oh, you've let me down. He had on his back an enormous burden. This burden was just weighing him down. He was crushed by it. He could just about walk. And he just didn't know what to do to get rid of this burden. But he had this scroll. He had this book. He had his Bible. And he was pointed in the right direction. Have you pointed anyone in the right direction? You should have done. Now maybe you say, oh yes, well, wait a minute, last year, yes I did. You should be pointing people in the right direction every day. In your family, in your home. You need to make a stand. There are so many people who do not make a stand for the Lord. There are so many people who think it doesn't matter. Everyone will get there anyway. Everyone won't get there anyway, because in heaven there's no sin. There's no darkness. There's no shade. There's no shadow. And everyone needs to have their heart clean. You need to have your mind washed. You need to have your heart cleansed. You need the blood of Jesus and the power of that blood to be still availing for you today. Do you know, as you get older, does it become less easy to sin? Well, it doesn't. Because every day you have a battle. Every day you have a challenge. You might have different challenges to what you had when you were younger. But everyone has a battle. Everyone. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, he's chosen you. He's not forgotten you. He's given you a purpose and an opening and a destiny. And you should be pointing people in the right direction. But make sure you're walking in that direction. There's an awful lot of people who can tell you what way to go, but they don't go there themselves. God is good. God is great. You know, one day, after a very dark time, very deep moment, and I was with my son here. We were just in Wales. He said to me, we should go and fellowship somewhere. And I totally agree, because I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I get so many people who say to me, oh, you don't need to go to church to really know God. I tell you, you do. I don't care what they say. I need the strength. I felt strength coming into me today, coming into the body of Christ. When you were praising, and I was part of that, strength will rise as we wait on the Lord and wait on his people. We were just down some country lane in Wales. And in November, it's dark. We didn't know where to go. And suddenly, we just went past this van. The man wound down the window and he said, you've got to go to Bangor Pentecostal Church. Yes, that's exactly how it happened. The witness. Do you expect God to speak to you? Who he was? I don't know. And of course, it's only when we've gone. Was he an angel? Could well have been. And cutting another long story short, God's got a great economy. We just couldn't find this place. It was complicated. Back streets behind the university, those who know round to Bangor. Anyway, in the end, we said, well, you know, it's going to be a bit late. And there was just one figure coming down the road, and he said, we'll just ask this young guy here, and then we'll just have to, I don't know why, you know, at this visitation, but we just have to leave it. And as this guy came towards him, his jaw dropped, And he said, you're Mr. Elms, aren't you? The witness. This is a God's honest truth. He said, you're my old teacher. And he said, and I've wanted to meet you to tell you I've given my life to Jesus. He said, what you said all those years ago, and it was years ago. He said, I wanted you to know it was not in vain. Hallelujah. And I can say as well, and I boast in God. I've seen many of the kids that I taught come to know the Lord. Are you expecting God to honor your faithfulness in you standing up for him and making a proclamation? There's no power like the power of the Lord. And if the church of Jesus Christ really rose up in its strength, and I tell you, that burden will come off your back. Because the burden is the burden of sin. And when we say, God, can I ever be free of these besetting sins? Can this darkness ever fully leave me? Can I ever know that I am a victor in this life through the power of God? You know, my Bible tells me with a resounding yes, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You were made to be the head, not the tail. You were made to be an overcomer. We are more than overcomers in this life. Through our goody-goodiness, through our efforts, through giving away money to good causes and so on, through none of those things, through the finished work on the cross of Jesus Christ, which transformed me and made me a new creature, a new creation. I'm grafted in now. Glory to God. I'm grafted in. Once I was alienated, lost in darkness. People tell me, how can a loving God send people to hell? People choose darkness rather than light. It's not God, it's people's choice. But I don't want to go to a so-called heaven where it's just the same old repeat of all the rubbish and the hell and the everything else that's on this earth. And when I read some obituaries about people or whatever, this is what they think, they can just do what they like and so on. Hate God in this life and they think they'll have everlasting bliss in the next. It doesn't work like that, folks. You need to be redeemed. You need to be transformed. You need to be changed. The power of God needs to come upon you. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. You are not made to be anything less than on fire for God. Ablaze with the Spirit. A glow for God, as it says in the Authorized Version, I think. But that's not just for the ladies. It's not just women aglow. It's men aglow. It's men on fire. Hallelujah. Lord, your inextinguishable flame, let it burn up all the dross inside of me. Everything. I want to be refined. I want to be changed. I love that song that we used to sing. I don't know whether you still know it, Tino. You probably don't, too young. Jesus, you are changing me. No. There we go, you see. The big divide. By your Spirit, you're making me like you. Jesus, you're transforming me so your loveliness may be seen in all I do. You are the potter. Sorry, say that one again. Oh, good, number know it. I am the clay, but let me be willing to let you have your way. Jesus, you are changing me. I don't think the day of miracles has stopped. I'm seeing more doors open for me. Again, I want to emphasize this, you know. I'm absolutely, as all those who know me know, I'm nothing special. But I have a special God who called me and filled me with his Holy Spirit and revealed that this is the word of God and gave me such an anointing of power in my life that he never wanted that power to go away. But sadly, at times I've let it seep away. And then that gain, that's lovely testimony. But when we look to the Lord, Is he willing to restore us? You know what? He's willing to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And there are people in here who have broken hearts, of destinies that they haven't fulfilled, whose hearts need to be changed and transformed by the Spirit of the living God. We sang about the fatherhood of God. How did you manage to exist without God? But I want to tell you, you don't have to any longer. We are adopted into his family. We are brought in. We're justified by faith. But you see, it's got to be by faith. It's always got to be by faith. There's nothing, not a thing that you can do. Not one thing. And as Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress started his journey with this terrible burden, and his friend had two friends who came to him. One just went back more or less right away. Mr. Obstinate, I think his name was. And Mr. Pliable carried on the journey with him. And Mr. Pliable says, "Why are you going on the journey?" And Christian tells him. He says, "Well, you know, this is a wonderful city ahead. There's a fantastic future. There's such great hope and peace and joy and everything that we want. I'll come with you." And so one's gone back. The two of them are walking along. And then they hit the Slough of Despond. The Slough is a swamp. But they were talking, you see. They didn't realize what was happening. Have you ever done that? You talk so much, you know, that you don't look where you're going. Sure you don't. But anyway, here they were, and they were suddenly in this Slough of Despond. And Pliable says, "This isn't what you've just told me all about. You told me about these wonderful things. What's happening?" And Christian says, "Well, I don't know either." He says, "I'm just here with you." And the other guy says, "Well, I'm getting out of here and I'm going back." And Christian says, "Well, even with my burden, I'm going on." And you can read the next thrilling chapter for yourself. Get Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. We've got some copies. Somebody kindly donated some. Anyway, where are you, Pilgrim, in your journey? Where are you? God wants to know. Because one day, you'll give an account of it. Are you going to be like the man who said, "Well, I knew all this was true, but you know, I thought, I'll just dig a little hole. And I've got some good treasure, but I'm just going to bury it." And he thought, the Lord said, "Well, that was a good idea. Just live your own life and just sort of keep certain standards, but, you know, keep the real thing just hidden away." The Lord didn't say that. The Lord rebuked him, and worse. And who did he bless and honor? The Lord. Said the one who said, "Lord, you know, I've only got this, but I'm going to use it for your kingdom." I'm amazed when I look around this gathering at the talents that are here, at the giftings. As I've got older, you know, and as I've met more and more people in the homes and the families and the children and so on, and you realize what giftings you had. That Jewish man I told you about a little bit earlier, I said, "Well, what do you do with your faith?" He said, "I draw." And he showed me some of his drawings. It was fabulous, of different places in Israel and Jerusalem. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you mightn't be an artist. You mightn't be a speaker. But you know what everyone is? A praiser. The Lord says he's looking for people who can worship in spirit and in truth. And the Lord, he just listens to you in your bedroom or wherever you spend your time with the Lord. You mightn't have the most magnificent voice on God's earth, but I tell you what, you can sing from your heart and your soul and your spirit. I That's what I want to be known as, a true worshipper. Not somebody who comes along to a worship meeting, but a true worshipper. One who can get down before the Lord and just say, Lord Jesus, I choose you. I choose to follow you. I choose, Lord, the things that I don't understand, like Christian pilgrim going through the Slough of Despond. Been through a few things that have caused you to despond. Been through your dark nights, yes. Some people tell you it's all glory, hallelujah. One day it will be. Through the nights of doubts and sorrow. Somebody knows it. Onward goes the pilgrim band, singing songs of expectation, marching to the promised land. Clear before us through the darkness, guides and burns the guiding light. Brother clasps the hand of brother, stepping fearless through the night. Hallelujah. My dear friends, I want you to realize that if you just come to a meeting because it's the done thing, you got used to it, you see your friends there, you're missing the whole point. Do we need church? We desperately need church. We need each other more now than ever. Prayer that was prayed in the prayer meeting before. We need a oneness. We need to be willing to love each other so much. It says that they would be willing to lay down their lives. I've brothers and sisters throughout this world who are doing that. I've met some of these amazing people. Incredible. But they just see it as just their call. But you've got your call. I want you to know that there's an amazing God. I want you to know how awful sin is. And God wants to get rid of sin out of your heart and my heart. He wants to get rid of the face of this earth. Do you know that the earth is going to be redeemed? The Bible clearly tells us. It says the heavens are going to be purified. The earth is going to be purified. And who's going to live on the earth again? Just unredeemed people? People who are no. It's those who dwell in the light. Those who are clothed in light. Hallelujah. You know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and it's so dark and you've got to wait for your eyes to focus to see which way to go. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to wake up in the light. Now, I don't know what it's like to be in light that is so bright, brighter than the sun. It's impossible to know. It tells us, naturally speaking, you'll go blind. But we won't go blind in this light. We'll see clearer and clearer. In thy light, the Bible tells us this, we see light. Walk on the right path. My dear friends, walk in the right way. Forgive people. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold bitterness. Keep accounts very, very short. For the day is at hand. The night is far spent. And the King is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a young man down in Birmingham. He leads a very, very big work. And he just had this amazing dream just this last week or so about the King coming. And he was just so, he didn't know what to do. But the King is coming. And I tell you what you can do. Get ready. Repent of the things you need to repent of. Let go of the things that you're holding on to. What you want, as Rob said right at the start of the meeting, do you want more of God? God wants more of you. He wants you to decrease so that he can increase. I'm just going to close there. But before I do, I just want to pray for people. I want to pray about hearts and lives. I want you to humble yourself. I want people who know that God is speaking to them in their situation. I want you to come out to the front. Let's pray for you. Don't drag your heels. Don't waste time. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. You get ready as a man, a woman of the light and of the truth. Just come out and let's pray for you. Can we have some worship?